Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for standing by. Welcome to the Sherritt Noteholder Maturity Extension Information Session conference call. If anyone has any difficulties hearing the conference, please press star followed by zero for operator assistance at any time. I would like to remind everyone that this conference call is being recorded today, Wednesday, June 22nd, 2016, at 4 p.m. Eastern Time. I will now turn the conference over to Ms. Flora Wood, Director of Investor Relations. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Ron, and thank you to everyone who's dialed in or listening on the webcast. We are recording this call, which will be accessible on our website on the homepage along with the slides throughout the period of voting leading up to the meeting date. Our usual forward-looking statements apply. You'll see that disclaimer on slide two. And with me as speakers, I have David Pathy, CEO, and Dean Chambers, CFO. And I'd now like to turn the call over to Dave.
All right. Thank you, Flora, and thanks for me as well to everybody for joining us this afternoon. As Flora said, we've got a few slides up on the website, so those of you can access that can follow along. We're just going to take you through those quickly today and get you on your way. First, you'll see our forward-looking statements that Flora mentioned on slide two, and then over on slide three, for those of you we haven't had a chance to meet, that's me looking back at you on the left and Dean on the right. I've been at Sherritt since 2007. I started as Associate General Counsel and had a variety of roles here before becoming President and CEO in 2012. And Dean joined us in 2007 as well. He was formerly the CFO of Dynatech and joined us through the acquisition of Dynatech, which is what brought Sherritt into the Mbatovi project. Dean's a chemical engineer and has had a variety of senior roles here before his appointment as EVP and CFO in 2012. So over the page, I think what we're going to do today is I'm going to just talk briefly about Sherritt and who we are and where we are today and what brings this the transaction proposal to you today. And then Dean's going to speak for a few minutes about the proposal itself and some of the mechanics of that. So Sherritt is now owns and operates two large-scale HPAL, high-pressure acid leach nickel and cobalt assets. Last year, together, we produced around 81,000 tons of nickel and about 7,200 tons of cobalt on a 100% basis, and we continue to look to ramp that up this year as Mbatovi continues to work its way up the ramp-up curve. Our MOA joint venture is a 50-50 joint venture with the Cubans with a mine and processing facility in Cuba and our refinery in Fort Saskatchewan, Alberta. This was the first facility of its type in the world, and we've been partners with the Cubans in that JV since 1994. Consistently produces LME quality nickel and cobalt, but cash costs are now close to the lowest quartile of all nickel production worldwide. And we've got a long reserve life there. The reserve life, as currently stated, goes out beyond 2030, and we think there's potential for more there. Certainly goes well beyond the maturity dates of all the bonds that we're discussing today. Mbatovi is well known to some of you. We've been in that project since 2007. Mbatovi started commercial production in early 2014, and when it's up at full capacity, it'll be the largest integrated high-pressure acid leach nickel producer in the world. Sherritt's the operator, and we're a 40% owner, and Mbatovi's cash costs are coming down. We've got a lot of progress lowering costs there in the last 18 months. They're now firmly in the second quartile, and we think we have the potential to further reduce those costs as we continue to move up towards full production and get those costs down towards that bottom quartile as well. It's another long-life asset with a mine life around 30 years. Our oil production in Cuba has been a steady business for many years now. We have particular expertise in horizontal drilling that we apply in Cuba under various production sharing contracts. Our oil production there last year was around 18,000 barrels a day, and our production costs were under $10 a barrel. Finally, our power business has actually been quite a strong cash-flowing business for us recently. We're a one-third power in the Energas joint venture in Cuba, which is the largest electricity producer in Cuba. We capture gas from the oil fields, and then we use that to run combined cycle turbines. Cash flow from the power business comes both from the revenue from electricity generation and also from interest and principal repayment on a loan that we made to Energas to fund the construction of a new 150-megawatt combined cycle facility a couple years ago. 2015, we had over $60 million in cash flow from the power business. Lastly, on that slide, just a couple of numbers for you. It shows our market cap and our liquidity position. We had about $370 million worth of debt at the end of the first, cash at the end of the first quarter. And our recourse debt, the bulk of which is the $720 million publicly traded bonds that we're proposing to address in this transaction today. So moving on to slide five, this summarizes where we are today. The single biggest determinant really is nickel prices, and I'll speak a bit more about that in the next slide in terms of what's going on in the nickel market. We're currently experiencing a prolonged period of unsustainably low nickel prices. In the first quarter of this year, we reached a nickel price that was lower than anything we saw in the financial crisis, touching levels that we haven't seen since 2003. And we've also seen a dramatic decline in oil prices in the last 12 or 18 months. Over on slide six, you can see what the nickel price has done in the last 10 years, up over $22 before the financial crisis, today around the $4 mark. The decline in the last couple of years, in particular, that you can see on the right-hand side there, has been precipitous, with a close to 60% decline in the last couple of years. At these current prices, 50 to 70% of the world's nickel production is losing money on a cash margin basis, and that's ignoring the cost of financing, sustaining capital, corporate overheads, and the like. We don't think that situation is sustainable forever, but it has persisted for some time, and it may persist for more time yet, and that brings us to what we're looking to do in this transaction today. We have long-life, low-cost assets that should be able to generate positive cash flow when nickel prices recover. And we think the assets have the reserve life to see that day come, and that's why we're trying to proactively address the debt maturities today to allow time for that day to come. To just touch on the nickel market more broadly a little bit for you, to give you a little context, roughly two-thirds of the world's nickel production is used in the production of stainless steel, which is really where the tie between nickel price and global GDP comes from. The other third is used in battery production, the chemicals, and specialty alloys used in aerospace, and that's actually the faster-growing segment of the nickel market these days. Total market size is about 2 million tons a year, so it's a much smaller market than copper or other base metals that you may be familiar with, and that has a tendency to make it a more volatile market as well. Like a lot of other base metals, China is a big part of the story, and there's not a great clarity as to what's happening in China in the nickel market. In very rough numbers, of that 2 million ton market, about half of that consumption and roughly 25% of that supply is Chinese-based, and there's not great clarity, as I say, as to what's happening with either of those at the moment. Hurting the nickel price in the last year or two is where we've seen inventory levels on the London Metals Exchange climb quite a bit. They peaked at over 460,000 tons at the fall of last year. We have seen them come off in the last 6 months. It's currently around 380,000, 385,000 tons, I think. And despite this period of low prices, we haven't really seen much in the way of significant contractions on the supply side yet. There have been a couple of small producers that have curtailed or stopped production. But in the meantime, we see significant production continuing despite the low-price environment, and that's ultimately what we don't think is sustainable here. In our nickel business itself, we continue to see strong demand for our product. We don't have any trouble selling nickel. In fact, our order book is full and booked out as far in the future as it has ever been. We typically see that happening. It's normally a harbinger of higher prices, but that hasn't really materialized in any meaningful way yet, although we are up off the lows that we hit in the first quarter a little bit. We continue to have strong belief in the long-term prospects of the nickel market, given where the cost curve looks like and the fundamentals of where supply and demand are going in the next few years. But at the current time, it's still a tough market for nickel producers to make money, and that's what brings us to the transaction we're bringing to you today. That's what I wanted to touch on, just to give you some context of Sherritt and context of the market in which we're operating today. I'm going to pass it over to Dean now, who's going to speak a little more specifically about what it is we're proposing to do here.
Thank you, Dave. I'm on slide seven. This is actually a relatively simple transaction. To recap, we're asking our note holders to extend their maturities for 3 years, meaning the 2018 maturity becomes a 2021 maturity, 2020s become 2023s, and 2022s become 2025s. Other key terms of the notes remain the same. We're keeping the same coupon and covenants, and I'll remind you that our covenants are maintenance covenants only, restricting payments to specific baskets and preventing additional debt incurrence, except for certain defined activities that fit our core business. Note holders of record on June 15th who vote in favor of our plan have two choices: a 2% cash consent fee or 73.25 warrants for each $1,000 of principal. These are 5-year warrants with a strike price of 74 cents per share. When do you receive the cash or warrants? After closing of the transaction. The warrants are transferable but not tradable, i.e. not listed, but will be CDS eligible, which means you'll be able to deposit them with your broker. Brokers' trading desk can buy and sell the warrants, etc. Many of you will not have seen a CPCA plan of arrangement before, or at least not in this context. But the CPCA is a customary mechanism for this type of transaction. The transaction must be approved by 66 2/3% of the notes voting at a note holder meeting. Slide 8 summarizes the benefits of the transaction. We looked at a wide range of alternatives when looking at how to manage our bond portfolio. What it really came down to, first of all, we have a track record of paying our bondholders out in full, both principal and interest. We want to uphold that commitment. We also want to treat everyone equally, and this extension gives us time for recovery in the nickel price and the ability to pay our noteholders in full. Another item I'd like to raise is the support for the transaction. Approximately 44% of noteholders have signed support agreements, representing their commitment to vote in favor of the deal. We approached a small number of institutional holders under non-disclosure agreements, and 90% of those holders signed agreements and elected a form of consent, either cash or warrants. For those of you who are trying to gauge potential dilution, the elections are roughly half and half from that group, and I'd also point out the group is split across each of the maturities. Launching this transaction on the basis of 90% support from the initial group is as solid as we can hope to achieve out of the gate. The next 30 days will be a period of education and reaching out to our bondholders, working with Kingsdale, our proxy solicitors. We hope to connect with as many of you as we can reach, and look forward to that interaction. Now I'm on slide 9, outlining the next steps. The record date of June 15th is the date that determines your eligibility for voting and for receiving the cash or the warrant consent fee. If you acquired after June 15th, you are not eligible to vote or to receive the fee. You should see a management information circular and voting instructions arrive by mail in the next week. You'll then have to provide your instruction to your investment advisor, ideally before mid-July, so that you're in plenty of time for the consent deadline of July 19th. This is the date we want to emphasize, as you only get the consent fee if your broker submits your election before July 19th. If your account is with a discount brokerage, it works the same way. It's just that you'll likely be submitting your vote and election by email or other online instruction. As part of the CBCA process, there will be a meeting July 25th, but we'll know the voting results by earlier cutoff dates. And we would expect to close this transaction by the end of July. That gives you the details of the transaction. And finally, I'd like to turn the call back over to Dave to discuss our strategic priorities.
Thanks, Dean. I just wanted to finish up today by highlighting briefly for you what it is we're focused on here at this time in the markets that we've been talking about. At the beginning of the year, we highlighted 3 strategic priorities for 2016, but really they were just an extension of our 2015 priorities. The first is focusing on our core nickel business, and that has us continuing as we did through 2014 and 2015 to look at ways of increasing production and lowering costs. And if you look back through some of our other public disclosure in the last couple months, you'll see some of the results and success we've had in that area. We have an acid plant under construction in Cuba that is now nearing completion. We're expecting to see acid out of that in the second half of this year, which should help us further lower costs at our MOA operation. And we continue to work to increase production at Mbatabi and reap the benefits of the commensurate lower unit production costs that that will bring as well. The second, our priority was extending the life of our Cuban energy business. We signed up a couple new blocks in our oil business about a year ago. We spent much of 2015 doing seismic and reprocessing seismic and identifying drilling locations, getting permitting sorted out. We now have all of that completed, and we'll actually next month be starting drilling our first new well on the new block, and we should have the results of that sometime in the fourth quarter, and we'll be looking to see where we go from there as we see the results from that first well drill. The last was maintaining strong balance sheets and reducing costs, and then this transaction is very much a part of us executing on that strategic priority to strengthen our balance sheet at this time in the commodity price cycle. You'll also have seen that we've ceased funding Mbatabi cash calls due to our 40 for 12 issue that we've referred to it in the past, and you'll see more detail on that as well in our recent public disclosure. Those three priorities are where our focus continues to be. For all of the noise in commodity markets, we try hard to keep our focus as an organization on those things that we can control. And that's running our operations as efficiently and safely as possible and looking after our balance sheets. That's all part and parcel of what we're here talking to you about today. I believe that covers largely what Dean and I want to talk about with you today, so I'm going to turn it back to Flora now to wrap things up.
Thank you, Dave. And again, I'd like to thank everybody for listening. The link to today's call and the presentation will stay on the homepage. And for any questions during this period, we hope you'll reach out to us or to Kingsdale. Thanks again.
Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes today's call. Thank you for your participation. You may now disconnect your lines.